Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Kale and Company news live in the 6 a.m. hour. A horrific follow-up from yesterday's story I believe you guys covered. A mom allegedly beat child to death with a belt, hid body in a suitcase before making up abduction report. New details have revealed that the case of a Maryland woman who claimed her daughter was abducted at gunpoint in Delaware, only to be charged with the girl's murder less than 24 hours later. As you recall, Darian Randall, 31, of Northeast Maryland, is being charged with murder and related offenses in the death of 3-year-old Nola Dinkins. Police say Randall told them that Nola was taken by a man at gunpoint in Newark, Delaware, on Tuesday night after she pulled over on the side of the road. That report prompted an Amber Alert, which was later canceled. However, charging documents show that Randall eventually admitted that the story was made up. She allegedly told police that she struck the child about 15 to 20 times with a belt during the daytime hours on Monday. Nola fell to the ground and was not moving. Randall allegedly said she picked up Nola and realized she wasn't breathing. She told police she called for her boyfriend, 44-year-old Cedric Burton, who attempted CPR but realized the child was dead.
What a scumbag. You beat your 3-year-old, your helpless little 3-year-old with a belt almost 20 times.
This story just every day, the new details of this just make my blood boil.
Yeah.
The report we talked about yesterday was that this woman blamed a bald white guy.
Right.
Yeah, pulled a juicy.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, another race hoax. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was just her and, I guess I have to say allegedly, her and her scumbag boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't know if, Anna, you've ever seen, in the...
Empire?
In professional wrestling, they have these things called strap matches where
she's never seen that.
They get the two opponents together and you put the belt over your wrist. Long strap, you're attached basically with a 15-foot strap to your opponent. And the whole goal is to just beat your opponent repeatedly with the strap. That's what should happen to these individuals in jail. Yeah. They should be beaten with a strap. They should go out the same way that poor 3-year-old did.
Agreed.
So she made up the story and then less than 24 hours later admitted it was all a lie?
Well, when we first reported that story last week, we all kind of were like, "Yeah, the story doesn't jive."
Yep, but ain't mathin'.
Yes, but we're trying to be responsible broadcasters, so we did not say it. And then as soon as the news came out, we were like, "Yeah, of course, of course, this is happening."
Yep.
But this story is making national news because of the implications. Some outlets are bringing up the race implication, others are not.
Yep.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Moving right along, Philadelphia leaders urge peace ahead of protests.
Oh boy.
I guess you guys got a big weekend ahead of you.
No King's Day. No King's Day.
Sure is. Philadelphia could have one of the largest so-called No King's Day protests in the country. The protest is in opposition to President Donald Trump's policies. Protests will be happening in cities across the country to contrast a military anniversary celebration in D.C., which Trump will be attending on Saturday, his birthday, I believe his 79th birthday. Protesters in Philadelphia will begin marching in Love Park and go to the Art Museum. With immigration enforcement a heated issue, city leaders hope cool heads will prevail. City leaders say people are well within their rights to protest, just do so peacefully.
Mostly peaceful, so we'll have all sorts of... assaults, there'll probably be arrests, but we'll be told that it was it was isolated to 2 or 3 city blocks. It was not what your eyes are leading you to believe on social media. That'll
be
the spin.
Interesting strategy. It's exactly what they did with Biden's mental decline. You're like, this looks bad. They're like, nope.
No.
You're just like, okay.
He's cogent.
I guess
yes. He's sharp as a tack.
It's a love celebration. What did they call them? Chop or Chaz? It was like a love fest.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Seattle or wherever it was.
Yeah, right? Like fortified with guns. Yeah. There was just like feces everywhere. Just a giant
love fest.
Heap of you know what.
Yeah.
But it was just a love fest.
Yep, that's right.
ICE to deploy tactical units to Northern Virginia and four other cities, including Philadelphia.
Oh, good.
ICE is preparing to deploy special response teams, known as SRTs, to five cities, run by Democratic leaders ahead of the anticipated protest activity this weekend. SRTs are elite SWAT tactical teams responsible for going after the most high-risk targets. They were most recently deployed to Los Angeles as part of the federal government's efforts to quell protest activity. Reports say the teams will deploy in Northern Virginia, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Seattle. Hundreds of No King's Day protests are planned across the U.S. on Saturday, June 14th, to protest Trump administration's policies. Quote, from city blocks to small towns, from courthouse steps to community parks, we're taking action to reject authoritarianism and show the world what democracy really looks like.
Yeah.
Instead of the No Kings website.
So the only thing we have going for us, Kale, in this thing is that I think Saturday's weather here is going to be not great.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I mean, they're already talking in D.C. about, you know, the weather for the military parade. Will that affect turnout for No King's Day?
Yeah, it's going to, and it's going to be a crappy weekend. I'm going to have to watch the news throughout the weekend for all this lawless behavior. The weather's going to stink. The only thing that can save the weekend is the U.S. Open, on Father's Day, no less. Can a straight white man get a weekend just once in his life? Okay, can I just have one weekend of sheer joy and bliss and no nonsense? You said ICE is coming to Philadelphia, Anna?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay. I'm officially telling ICE I'm available. If you need any independent contract work for the next 48 hours when you arrive, I'm coming with you. I'm going to start cracking skulls. I've had
it. Be a fun ride along.
Yes.
And that is our Kale & Company News Live for the 6 o'clock hour.
Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, let's get to a Friday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. The F around and find out era has arrived. You know, the Democrats, they have lost their minds and full control of themselves as MAGA has taken total command. If you returned to planet Earth yesterday after spending the last 5 years on Mars and listened to and watched the Democrats for all of 5 minutes, you would not believe your eyes and your ears. To sum it up, they were an absolute clown show on Capitol Hill yesterday. From Kathy Hochul to J.B. Pritzker and Alex Padilla. Two governors, one senator, making a spectacle over the most embarrassing, unpopular, and losing political stances. And we're talking about the governors of New York and Illinois, as well as a senator from California. The common theme, three blue states with big blue cities such as New York, Chicago, L.A., and San Francisco, also known as the epicenter of progressive disasters. But it doesn't stop there. The rough day continued as PBS and NPR get defunded after a tight House vote. And then also, Blue Sky Social, the new social media platform for left-wingers, it's collapsing. And the DNC has ousted their top two chairs for not adhering to, wait for it, diversity protocols. The Democrats simply put, a colossal dumpster fire. Meanwhile, MAGA is taking control, laying the law down, and letting the country know, follow the rules, adhere to the law, or be dealt with. The kitty gloves are coming off. Let's begin with the highlight of the day. Here is California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla, who was handcuffed and forcibly removed from Kristi Noem's DHS press conference. Here is part one. Listen and watch.
A question for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen felon criminals that you're rotating on your hands off.
How many of our ICE agents have been doxxed for doing their duty, and how they have been targeted.
Taken right on out of that press conference. If you think you were going to resist law enforcement anymore, it's not going to happen. You have an option, comply or be dealt with. Chuck Schumer in his feelings yesterday. Gavin Newsom butthurt over the incident. Nobody is above the law. In fact, Padilla tweeted those exact words multiple times in 2021, 2022, 2023 on his social media feed. But as the saying goes, rules for thee, but not for me. Here's part two of his detainment. Listen and watch.
Hands behind your back. Hands on your back.
If you let me see my hands, go ahead. Hand behind my back.
All right. Cool. Okay, with one hand. Lay flat. Lay flat. Other hand, sir. Other hand.
There's no recording loud out here. I did not know. There's no recording allowed out here for FBI, right?
Get on the floor and shut up, period. And this was political theater. This was professional wrestling. Alex Padilla was trying to become the story. Alex Padilla was trying for some 15 minutes of fame and trying to become the victim. That's how pathetic Democrats are right now. And I'm telling you, they will try to pull something this weekend during Trump's army celebration somewhere throughout the country. Mark my words. But here's a bit of advice. Hold the high ground. Don't let him capitalize. But the reality is this. None of this should surprise you. This was about importing new voters to forever change the American electorate. They are going to go down kicking and screaming, literally, because they know their policies are trash, and they don't even believe half of their own policies, like men and women sports. And as far as the rioting goes, well, the FBI, they've had it with concealed identities, as have I. No mas. Take off the mask. The Federal Bureau of Investigation under Kash Patel and Dan Bongino have probably advised all of their agents, do not play games with these people anymore. Listen and watch.
Today we execute a search warrant on the individual who was seen earlier this week distributing face shields to suspected rioters down in Los Angeles. We have made it a huge priority to try to identify, locate, and arrest those who are involved in organizing, supporting, funding, or facilitating these riots that they're going on. It appears they're well orchestrated and coordinated and well funded, so we want to understand who these people are and where this organization's coming from. And today was one of those first arrests, the key arrests that we did.
Amen to that. I voted for exactly that. And in the great state of Florida, the original F around and find out state, they're done with the rioters, the violent protesters, and those that don't go about protesting peacefully. Here's a Florida County sheriff telling you point blank, period, we will end you. Listen and watch.
So I'm gonna break it down for you, all right? And if somebody wants to know what I mean by turn violent, all right, this is what I mean. If you resist lawful orders, you're going to jail. Let me be very clear about that. If you block an intersection or a roadway in Brevard County, you are going to jail. If you flee arrest, you're going to go to jail tired because we are going to run you down and put you in jail. If you try to mob rule a car in Brevard County, gathering around it, refusing to let the driver leave, in our county, you're most likely going to get run over and dragged across the street. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail, and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs that we have here. If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at, because we will kill you graveyard dead. We're not going to play.
Graveyard dead. That man right there just replaced Tom Homan for my ultimate man crush. That's how you do it, folks. The inmates do not run the asylum. In fact, the Democrats, they can't run anything, including their own party or even diversity of thought. We'll get to thoughts in a moment, but let's start with the dysfunctional DNC. David Hogg and Philadelphia's Kenyatta Walker, both out as vice chair of the DNC, after Hogg failed to earn the position by following diversity protocols. You hate to see it, folks. Now he's going to have to get a real job, but perhaps he can reapply by identifying as a female. And next, we have diversity of thought, or lack thereof. Remember Blue Sky Social? That was the place where left-wingers fled, and Elon purchased X. He rebranded it from Twitter to X, restored free speech, and a lot of the snowflakes left to bluer pastures. You know, the same people who loved Twitter when Jack Dorsey was shadow banning conservatives and stifling free speech. They took their ball and they went elsewhere. Well, elsewhere is collapsing now. Business Insider, Yahoo News, Fortune Magazine, The New York Post, and countless other outlets all reporting how the platform has crashed and burned because it is an echo chamber of engagement for the woke. Shocking. Mark Cuban now admits his social media company is in trouble, saying, quote, the lack of diversity of thought is pushing users back to Elon Musk's X. The hell you say? Phil, please throw this graphic up on YouTube. This is a study from the British Psychological Society. Look at this graph. It just shows you how diverse the political right is with thought and how narrow-minded and limited in scope the left is when it pertains to diversity of thought, confirming what I've been saying on this show for 3 years now. The left values cosmetic diversity. They don't value diversity of thought, the marketplace of ideas. You have to agree with everything or you're out. John Fetterman, perfect example. He probably adheres to 70% of the left-wing playbook, but 70% is not enough. 100% agreement with left-wing ideology, the only acceptable outcome. And the outcome for NPR and PBS? That's not looking good. Yesterday, the House voting 214 to 212 to defund their $9.4 billion operation. The vote now goes to the GOP-controlled Senate. State-run media, officially, on the deathbed as Democrats and the clown show comes to a town near you. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Furnish your home and make a statement for summer with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. You can browse over 16,000 pieces of all high-quality famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on X at 1210 WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. We'll come back. We'll get honest thoughts, get everybody else's opinions, as well as the fallout yesterday from Alex Padilla going down on the floor and going down hard. And then we're going to get into Israel striking Iran. A lot on the table this morning. Anna's in for Dawn. We're back after this on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Bobby. It's Kale and Company as we roll on. It is a Friday morning. Anna Hummel's in for Dawn Stensland, 6 o'clock hour. Brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union, where you can earn up to 3% cash back with an American Heritage Cash Reward MasterCard on all of your summer needs, such as travel, gas, dining, and groceries. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/cashback. Insured by NCUA, not a member joined today, equal opportunity lender. All right, Anna, we've had senators thrown down to the ground, handcuffed. We've got sheriffs in Florida, your great state, saying, you mess around with us, and we're going to send you home in a nicely sealed casket to your loved ones. And rioters have been told by the FBI, no more masks. Your thoughts on all the chaos?
Well, Ron DeSantis says we can run them over with our cars. So
hell
that's
yeah.
Pretty cool. I'm excited. Because, yeah, once you start blocking traffic, and I'm sure you guys, I'm not sure if I caught it, but that New York City mom who was accosted by those protesters when she was just trying to go to work and provide for her family, and they told her, oh, work, like, whatever, who cares? They have no regard for anybody else, it seems. My question for you guys are protests fun?
No.
Seems like it's just like a cool weekend activity for the youth and others to engage in when they have nothing else going on. Because to me, it seems like a horrific time. But then again, like, I've seen some videos of people in Tampa on both sides, and they just scream and fight, and maybe that's kind of what men and others like to do sometimes, is just have it out and have an outburst.
Yeah.
Have some exchanges. You're not changing any hearts and minds when you go to these protests.
That's like three great points you just made there. I've never seen a protest occur where anybody actually came away from it on one side and then changed their opinion after somebody inconvenienced another person's daily life and existence. And you're right about the, are they fun? No, they're not fun. And I respect people's right to protest. I've never protested anything. But these individuals out there have nothing to do with their life. I swear they're the same people that just wax on about their pronouns on TikTok or say how they hate America on social media. And I think a lot of them are paid. And I think a lot of them just tour the country and show up, and they communicate via social media, and they say, okay, we've done our thing in Seattle, or oops, here come the feds, we're toast, yeah. Let's pack up and move to Chicago, right? They're like vagabonds.
Yeah, it's really strange. Although I would love to tell a very brief, endearing story that my uncle shared with me, and I think this is how we saved the country, if I may.
Okay. I like it. Yeah.
If I may.
Point of privilege.
So all of my family except me and my father, and now my mother, very liberal, very left-wing. My uncle lives in New Jersey, pretty close to New York City. And he told me a couple weeks ago that he went to a protest because he's retired, and I guess there's not much to do in northern New Jersey. So he goes to this protest, or at least he tries to, gets on a subway. On the subway are two gays for Trump. Okay, so he's going to protest Trump with his wife, and he meets two gay guys on the subway, gays for Trump.
Okay.
And they all get lost together. And they had to work together to find where they were going to go and fight each other. And they ended up becoming friends because they all got lost. They didn't know where they were going. They ended up actually talking on the subway and being like, I understand where you're coming from. I get what you're saying. Oh, so there's just like a miscommunication. So all we need to do is put, you know, some right wingers and some left wingers in an escape room.
Uh-huh.
And they can't leave until they work together to figure it out.
I love it.
And that's how we save the country.
I love
you just got to get lost together.
Yes. Yeah. What a novel concept. And by the way, for those that are retired, if you don't have enough hobbies, can I suggest taking up golf? Then you won't have to go protest. See, if all these people just learned to play golf, it would fill up the hours of their day. That's the problem with America. Just don't book a tee time ahead of me and suck and take forever. I want to play this because everybody is outraged, right? Gavin Newsom, he rushed to social media. Chuck Schumer had to give a statement. Oh, my God, Alex Padilla, he had his rights violated. He was just trying to ask a question. He identified himself. CNN, Phil, Cut 11, had a security and law enforcement analyst slash expert on. And I feel like CNN was maybe thinking that this guy would say, oh, yeah, Mr. Padilla has a case here. It didn't play out that way on television. Clip 11, let's roll this.
I know we are in a politically charged climate, but from a law enforcement perspective, this was neither the fault nor the responsibility of DHS Secretary Noem. She's in the middle of a press conference. There's someone who interrupts and then makes it clear by his movements that he is not going to comply. He's taken out. Again, I don't think any of that was her responsibility. I am learning from a law enforcement source that no charges are planned against the Senator Casey.
Important to note that. I mean, Josh, I guess the question I have, I mean, he's yelling, you know, I'm a U.S. senator, right? Like, I'm Senator Padilla. If you are a law enforcement officer in this situation, and you're in a federal building and this person is saying this to you, I guess that's kind of where I'm tripping, because we're now seeing, and our viewers are getting a chance to see this for the first time. We just got this video cleared through our system. The fact that this has happened, he's out of the room with the secretary, right? And they're pushing him to the ground and he's saying this. I mean, you know, I don't want to make assumptions because you're someone who's been in this position. I have never, of course, been in the position to be one of these security officers. But would you have expected them to not react to him identifying himself as he did?
Well, two things. So in the room itself, when he identifies himself as a senator, I don't think that made any difference to the agents. In fact, that would have been special treatment for him if they had allowed him to continue to interrupt, you know, very loudly this press conference. So there, I don't think it made a difference. But to your point, outside the room, sure. I mean, I think that is something that is certainly a factor. Once he's identifying himself, they know that he's not a threat. That doesn't mean that they don't have the right to throw him out, you know, of the building, metaphorically speaking, because he was there. You know, at that point, they would determine, okay, you are here in an unauthorized fashion. But again, that did raise questions whenever you actually see them putting him on his knees and then shoving him onto the ground at that point, knowing, you know, who they were dealing with. And for that matter, I think that kind of those kind of tactics, maybe de-escalating, would be used on anyone, not just a United States senator. Again, the question is this person a threat in front of me? And then what's the next plan? How are we going to get this individual out of there? Could they have de-escalated it? Did they have to go straight to shoving him on the ground? I don't think so. But again, I think this will be reviewed.
Good for law enforcement. Good for the Secret Service. This was not a press conference, by the way, where there was open-ended questions and answers. He stormed in there, and then he physically starts going towards, and, like, just back up, get out. And
this was all a stunt.
Yes, I'm correct. Yeah. No, you're totally right.
Yeah, this was all a stunt. He was trying to, you know, now everybody is talking about Alex Padilla today. Nobody knew who the hell this person was, and now everybody's talking about him. And absolutely, law enforcement, like, who cares if you're a senator? You know what I mean? Like, no, they don't know that. Some lunatic can come in and go, oh, I'm a senator. Like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No.
Right.
You get him out of there, and he knew exactly what he was doing. I think, I give credit, I think it was, maybe it was Road Warrior, I don't know, it was somebody on the YouTube chat who said, this was the Jamal Bowman.
Yes.
Pulling a fire alarm.
Yes.
This was a political stunt.
This is LaMonica McIver in Newark.
100%.
Yeah.
And this guy knew exactly what he was doing, and everybody's talking about him. And, like, all you have to – the first 30 seconds of that were, like, no charges are going to be brought up against him. Okay. So, like, the end.
Yep.
You know? Like, it's
– right. You know, you're totally right. And here's the thing now. We've had multiple incidents here because you had LaMonica McIver, who showed up in Newark, New Jersey at the ICE detention facility at Delaney Hall and was raising a stink, her and Ross Baraka. And now you have Padilla from California. And I just got this. This is from Axios. Centrist Democrat Jared Golden, representative from Maine, has split. He has left the Democrat Party over the stunts that McIver and Padilla have pulled. He represents a district that Trump won last year and is always walking a careful line between supporting his party and maintaining his independence. And he says, storming into the FBI headquarters and trying to break up a press conference and rushing on a cabinet secretary is not really the job of an elected official. So he has now quit the Democrat Party and is officially out. And I think that's the thing, Anna. You're seeing all of these people trying to get their 15 minutes of fame, and they're willing to go out kicking and screaming because they were hell-bent on bringing in new voters the last 5 years. And you just don't go through all of that to get 15 million people here in different swing states and then just say, okay, Trump, ICE, take them away. It's cool. We tried. They're going to keep doing this.
Right. Yeah. The political theater is fun to watch, but I'm always curious as if they even believe what they say.
Nope.
Like, is it just because they owe this to their constituents? Is it that they feel that they will not be reelected if the people of their district or state believe that they can't take care of the people within their own state or district? But it's interesting to watch, and I'm excited for more.
Speaking of people who are affected and just looking for a great publicity moment, Elizabeth Warren, Lizzie took a video. She was walking to her driven car and talking about how, oh my God, oh heavens, heavens to Betsy. They took a senator and threw him to the ground. Democracy is at stake here. Roll, Lizzie.
When Senator Padilla gets pushed, shoved, thrown to the handcuffed because he is asking questions, because he is engaging in the very oversight that senators are supposed to engage in.
Driver, go.
Then what we're really talking about here is a Trump administration.
Floor it, Ruben.
Which wants to shut down
Ooh.
The ordinary functions of government. Look, I do a lot of oversight myself. I ask a lot of questions because that's how it works in a democracy. We use our words to hold people accountable. We don't use our fists. We don't shove. We don't try to knock people down.
We don't throw bricks.
We use our words. That's what oversight is all about. And that's what I want to go to the floor of the Senate to talk about. I think it is time for every senator, every member of Congress, Democrat or Republican, to stand up and say what Donald Trump has done is wrong.
Paid crisis actor.
You can't burn cars. So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's the loophole.
Actually, can you rewind to the very beginning of this? I think I saw Elizabeth Warren's O face.
I didn't know she had one, and I didn't know you were looking for it.
Hang on.
I'm fast.
Just roll this.
When Senator Padilla gets...
It's right there. I'm telling you.
It is kind of sexual.
It is, right?
Yeah.
She's very breathy.
Yeah. How long do you think it's been since Liz had one?
Oh, I don't
know. Oh, sorry.
She's not married, is she?
Yes, no? Yes. I believe she is. She is, yes.
Could you imagine, going home to that each
day? Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, I didn't mean to derail this conversation.
Phil, throw up K1. I want to hear about how nobody is above the law from Mr. Padilla. K1, our buddy loves to tweet about nobody being above the law. There it is. March 18th of 2023, July 18th of 2023, May 3rd of 2023, February 14th, 2021. And December 20th, a little holiday tweet. No one is above the law. Nobody is above the law. Might actually, it lasted all of one day. We got good economic news yesterday on it. And I love how all the financial pundits out there from CNBC and CNN come on and they say, well, inflation better than expected. That's the new buzzword when, you know, Trump's economy does better than the haters predict.
They're disappointed the country is succeeding.
Right, right. Well, it came in better than expected. I think nobody above the law is my new Democrat buzzword of the week. We should do that on this show. We could probably sell a sponsorship for it. The left's buzzword of the week.
Christy Noem actually weighed in on the Senator Padilla thing. This is 24, Phil, since we're going through this, we might as well go through it all. 24. Do you have it? There you go.
I have to ask you, would you please address Senator Padilla's interruption to your press conference?
You know, I'm not...
Even pressing charges for one we just witnessed here.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know the senator. He did not request a meeting with me or to speak with me. So when I leave here, I'll have a conversation with him and visit and find out really what his concerns were. I think everybody in America would agree that that wasn't appropriate. That if you wanted to have a civil discussion, especially as a leader, a public official, that you would reach out and try to have a conversation. For instance, I have left voicemails for Governor Newsom wanting to have a conversation. Has he returned them? No, he hasn't. I know that the White House has reached out and had conversations with Mayor Bass as well. And so that's what you do to try to start these conversations and ask for partnerships. Unfortunately, we haven't met that in this area. I'll visit with the senator and find out really what his concerns are and what we can do.
It sounds very similar to when Trump showed the receipts of a 16-minute phone call that he had with Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom with a long history of lying about his phone activity.
Gavin Newsom, a liar?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, he actually said, we'll play that later because I don't want to go through the entire cut sheet right now.
Yep.
But he actually said, he goes, well, Trump called me Friday, but we had a mysterious conversation that we never had or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then when they asked about what was in the conversation, he goes, well, I respect the office, so I'm not going to divulge the information. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, Trump show that you called. So, obviously he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now you respect the office?
Exactly.
Yeah, the administration?
Yeah,
exactly. L.A. Times with the headline, first they came for the immigrants, then they took down Alex Padilla. Written by Anita Chabria of the L.A. Times.
This is another Christy Noem thing when she went on fire. And look, you know I have my issues with Christy Noem. I'm not the biggest Christy Noem fan.
Well, but loses her purse, can't point her gun the wrong way.
But she is not in the wrong here.
No.
And she said he didn't even request a meeting with me or anything. He just showed up to this press conference. Roll this.
I had a conversation with the senator after this. We sat down for 10 to 15 minutes and talked about the fact that nobody knew who he was. He didn't say who he was, that until he was already had been lunging forward and people were trying to detain him for quite a period of time. And that this, you know, we're leaders, we're public servants. And if he had requested a meeting, I would have loved to have sat down and had a conversation with him. That coming into a press conference like this is political theater. It's wrong and it does a disservice to this country and the people who live here. So we sat down, had a conversation. We probably disagree on 90% of the topics, but we agreed to exchange phone numbers. We'll continue to talk and share information, and I think that's the way it should be in this country.
Wow.
I wish he would have acted that way in the beginning instead of creating a scene like this.
What a threat to democracy. They exchange phone numbers.
Oh,
my Lord.
Now, will they have phone calls or will they text? That is the question.
That's a great question.
Will Bunch from the Inquirer headline today. From Fort Bragg to Los Angeles, Trump enlists the military in a slow-motion coup. Dan Lebatard says Trump's ICE raids are a way to make the country whiter. which is interesting because Latinos are voting for Trump like never before. Trump's got the black vote up higher than he's had it in his first two options, his first two times for running for president. But yeah, he's trying to make it whiter.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they always default to race.
That's all they have.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I was not completely unaware of race, like, say, when I was in college, but it was like I was so less focused on it. And now it's like the forefront of every conversation I have. Like, God forbid I have not an altercation, but like a conflict with someone of the wrong color, or, you know, I'll be driving my car and I'll see someone riding their bike a little bit too close to the car lane. And I have this like thought, like, don't want to hit him, otherwise that'd be a hate crime. You know what I mean? Like, it's at the forefront of my brain always that I don't want to offend or upset or stoke fears or whatever. And it just, I feel like it wasn't this way even just a few short years ago.
Yep. Well, 2020. 855-839-1210. Coming up next, Israel strikes Iran despite Trump's nuclear deal hopes. We'll get to that as we wrap up the hour here on Kale & Company. Anna in for Dawn. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, a Friday morning. Anna Hummel in for Dawn Stensland. Greg Stocker is here. Phil Omquist, Jimmy Kelly, 855-839-1210. Sean Farish, it's a Farish Friday. He'll join us less than an hour from now.
Woo-hoo!
Cut sheet, baby. So we covered the big story domestically here with what happened on the Hill yesterday, but the big story globally occurred last night as Israel strikes Iran despite the current ongoing back and forth between the United States and Iran with Trump and, you know, making sure that Iran does not have nuclear weapons. And let me just give you a couple of details if you missed it. Israel launched a massive wave of attacks across Iran on Thursday night, bombing nuclear and missile sites, targeting military leaders and nuclear scientists, and conducting covert sabotage operations on missile and air defense sites. Israel is directly attacking its biggest and best armed adversary without the explicit backing from the United States, which swiftly distanced itself from the operation. Iran has already launched more than 100 drones toward Israel in response. I'm reading this courtesy of Axios. President Trump publicly opposed an Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear sites on Thursday, saying he still believed a nuclear deal was possible. Hours later, Israel began targeting nuclear sites, and Fox News reports that Trump said late Thursday that the U.S. was aware of the strikes ahead of the time, but was not involved militarily in hopes that Iran will return to the negotiating table. Two generals were killed in the attack on the Iranian side of receiving all of this. Marco Rubio put out a big press release from the White House last night, if you want to check that out. And Caroline Levitt just posted a message from Trump's Truth Social from about 25 minutes ago. Anna, I know you are Jewish. I want to get your thoughts. But quickly, for me, my thought last night was, I don't love this, but I felt like it was kind of necessary from the standpoint of Israel has a right to defend and retaliate. And I hope America stays out of this. I also hope that this does not impact the nuclear deal because Iran should not have nuclear weapons. I don't trust them. I don't trust North Korea. I don't trust Russia. I don't trust China. But I also hope that this doesn't ignite. My big fear from this is that, because we know Iran has a hit out for Trump, and Iran funds a lot of the terrorists and the training, the Houthis, and all these other ragtag operations that pull off these heinous attacks. I hope this doesn't lead to more anti-Semitism attacks on our soil in this country. That is my fear, and I think that's going to happen again. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think that that would be an unreasonable prediction. Anti-Semitism has been rising, unfortunately. I have a good friend. It's actually my father's friend. So I was actually born in Israel, which used to be kind of like a cool diversity point. Now I'm a white colonial Zionist oppressor. So I kind of keep that to myself these days.
You are a bad
but
apple.
I still, I know. So I do have a contact in Israel, and it's crazy because you know, with everything going on in Gaza, I've been kind of keeping in touch with this person. And he tells me, him and his wife both tell me that their biggest fear was just Iran and the nuclear capabilities of Iran and what's going to happen if they get a nuke. And then we're going to be totally, you know, effed. So it doesn't surprise me. And I think that was the chatter. There was a lot of on Israeli media, a lot of chatter that Iran was going to have a nuclear weapon, Israel might attack. And I guess that was kind of like the strategy, which was to kind of create this buzz. And when you keep talking about it, it like desensitizes everybody to it and go, oh, they're just talking about it. They're not going to do it. Well, turns out Israel did. So it seems like Israel is doing the rest of the world a service by taking the brunt of this, a huge, you know, affront to them. They might get attacked. Obviously, they already have. I believe 100 drones have been sent their way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it should be interesting to see what happens. But I think that if Iran doesn't have nuclear capabilities, that it will be a service to the rest of the world.
I just feel, I don't know, with all of these talks of, you know, they're a week away from nuclear capabilities, the mm-hmm. whole thing to me just reeks of weapons of mass destruction. I'm just sorry it does. And I don't, you know, like, I obviously don't want Iran to get nuclear capabilities, but I've read reports where they're actually really not on the verge of nuclear capabilities.
That it's 2003 Iraq.
This
all
is
over.
All being blown out of proportion. I don't know what to believe. All I know is that Iran is, you know, they see our fingerprints all over this.
Oh, of course
and
they do.
I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to be involved in this. And I'm afraid Israel is going to drag us into this.
Yes, or there's going to be
screaming.
There's probably some skeptics out there that are anti-war, that are pro-Trump, that maybe don't even believe everything that's coming out of the White House about how we didn't condone this. This is Israel acting on their own. We hope it doesn't interrupt negotiations. But then again, you still have your war hawks in this party, the Lindsey Grahams of the world. They would love to just drum up the military-industrial complex, make more money for Lockheed Martin and all these other military companies.
Well, we can go along here. Let's put Netanyahu up there, 29, Phil.
Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, a targeted military operation to roll back the Iranian threat to Israel's very survival. This operation will continue for as many days as it takes to remove this threat. For decades, the tyrants of Tehran have brazenly, openly called for Israel's destruction. They've backed up their genocidal rhetoric with a program to develop nuclear weapons. In recent years, Iran has produced enough highly enriched uranium for 9 atom bombs. 9. In recent months, Iran has taken steps that it has never taken before. Steps to weaponize this enriched uranium. And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months, less than a year. This is a clear and present danger to Israel's very survival.
There you go.
Yeah, there's Netanyahu. I'm going to give you, on the other side, Trump's official statement from just about 50 minutes ago. Also, Marco Rubio, and then Anna will have some news to kick off the second hour. 855-839-1210. Kale and Company, back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.